This morning, I will be reading scriptures from Psalm 45, verses 10 to 17, and Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. All your works shall give thanks to you, O God, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom known to all people. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Our God is faithful in all words and gracious in all deeds. Our God upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. Our God is just in all God's ways and kind in all God's doings. And now Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Abba, God of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Abba, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. Abba, God has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique parent-child operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the son the way the Abba Father does, nor the Abba Father the way the son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Well, good morning. I'm going to do you and me a favor and set an alarm. I know my girly niches, and so... And I could talk. I just want to be respectful of our time together and set a timer. Okay, hour and a half. Isn't it wonderful to laugh? It really is quite a miracle to be able to have joy and laughter in this place at 1212 University. Do you remember a time in your life where you found yourself besieged by life? It seems like everything that is going on and that could possibly go wrong just flips upside down in your life. And maybe you found yourself growing tired, frustrated. And one of the things I've learned about despair is that if you don't connect with the divine, despair can turn into hopelessness. And after a while, hopelessness can bring about a state of weariness. Jesus had worked with his disciples and he had ministered to them, and he decided that he was going to minister to cities that they had ministered in. And so he went on a preaching tour, so to speak, and he started ministering to people. And then suddenly, John the Baptist reaches out to him. And he sends people, because John is in prison. And so he sends people. He says, go ask him if he is the Messiah. Now, I love that. I love the humanity of John. Because John had heard, John baptized Jesus. And then John saw the clouds open up. And John heard the voice of the Father said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And yet John finds himself in a place of disbelief. In our lives, we struggle from time to time with disbelief. I see what happens to people that don't believe anymore. Every day at the Institute for Human Services, we have the privilege of serving people who are impacted by homelessness and mental health issues and substance use. And those are the top three things. And we think because we say those things that somehow we know these people, and we do not. Because when you sit down and you talk with them, you realize that they have had a life chock full of trauma. They have been alienated by their family and their friends, and the church has turned their back on them. I get inquiries for churches who want to come in and do a revival or bring their people to their service. So I started, one church invited us to an Easter pageant. And when I said, that sounds good, we can do this. They said, well, we'll need their birthdays, their name, their social security number, and we want them to enroll in our Christian education program because we need to be able to count them. So now we're in the book of Numbers. And when I said our people need shepherds, our people need human connection, our people need to know that they really do matter. You see, what has happened to some of our people in our community, the LGBTQ community, we just saw the Supreme Court of the United States say that it is legal to discriminate against LGBTQ people. Another decision that was rendered in a time of severe racial disparities, that in some states to even use the terms diversity, equity, and inclusion is illegal. The Supreme Court eradicates affirmative action, disregarding the need for racial parity and equity. We find ourselves living in a time where rights are disappearing and the church has somehow grown weary or distracted. Some churches, some places of worship. And my heart grieves for those who need human connection. In November of 2019, I was a high school teacher in Cleveland, Ohio. And I was teaching a class, and I got a call at 2 o'clock that said, you need to come home now, your house is on fire. So I had 4 bedrooms, a furniture, all the books that I've collected, all the stuff from my travels, and it boinked up. And I lived in a hotel for a couple of weeks until a friend took me in. And my job came to an end in December of 2019, but I had applied to another job in California because I was gonna go be with my family. I came in as the second runner-up. And then a friend of mine, I literally had no place to go when I was 60, and I was embarrassed that I couldn't remain in California with my family. I felt demoralized. What I didn't know is that I had grown weary. I had grown tired. Friends, in this Christian life, we grow weary from time to time. We grow tired from time to time. I love it when Kahu ministered to us last week about perfectionism. I think after the 36th draft of my ordination paper, I realized I shouldn't tell people I had 36 drafts, so I'll just say 6. We start spinning your wheels. When Jesus comes to this town, John the Baptist isn't sure that he is the Messiah. The religious leaders of the town, the Pharisees, deny who he is. The scribes who take down the laws in the synagogues and write law and write theology deny his divinity. But there was a group of people that were with him that were just everyday folk. And first he prays to God the Father. I love that. Before he ministers to the people, he prays to God the Father. And then he says to the crowd, come to me. Come to me. Just that alone right there. I could think of thousands of people who would love to hear from a minister, from a person of faith, say, God says to you, come to me. Don't come to me if you're straight or only if you're straight. Don't come to me only if you're able-bodied. Don't come to me only if you have a job or middle class. But come to me, all that are weary and are carrying a hell of a burden. Come to me. This is the invitation of Jesus today. And I want to share with you, friends, that this is exceedingly hard for me because this is my last Sunday with you in body. Although I can't say that because I know I'll be coming back. You've hooked me. But when I came to you in the early part of 2020, I was weary. I had worked on marriage equality campaigns. I had worked for the NAACP. I had done racial justice work. And then I started working in high school, and I felt like I couldn't find the right fit. I was lost in my own life. But God, in her infinite mercy and grace, said to Reverend Kyle Lovett, tell MacArthur to go check out Crossroads. And I checked out your Martin Luther King service. And I said, that feels like home to me. I want you to know that at 60, I found God again at 1212 University Avenue with some people that were not necessarily LGBTQ. They were not Black. They were not half Latin. All the stuff that they were not, but they were loving. You were loving. You showed me Christ. And you reminded me that I have the ability to go to God when I am weary. And I thought about the fact that when I was a missionary in Nigeria some 35 years ago, a minister laid hands on me and said, God is going to use you in this life. Don't lose hope. And I was doing all the social justice work, but somehow I felt out of sorts. And I needed to know, God, who am I in the kingdom of God? And I met this incredible person by the name of Ellen Carson, who befriended me. She was one of the first people who really showed me love. Others did too. When I had surgery, Becca and Gigi were bringing me food, and you were always asking about my well-being. Just this morning, Jim called and said, do you have a ride to the airport? Kahoo met with me 2 years ago because I was a moped chaplain. Everywhere I go was on a moped. He says, you still riding that moped? I said, yes, I am. He says, well, Kristen and I would like to bless you with a car. Who does that? Who does that? But it's not just a car. It's not just a fellowship. It was a call to be a chaplain. Finally, after 60 years of life, I felt that God, I was born to do this. Do you know what it's like to know when you are in the plan of God, in the hands of God? Do you know what it's like to know that suddenly you have discovered your joy again, your hope again? I want to share with you, as I prepare to wrap up, that I did a lot of professional work in the name of social justice, but that meant living away from my kids for 11 years. And I felt that on paper, I looked like a good dad, but in truth, I felt this huge alienation. And then last fall, my only biological child said, Poppy, it's time to come home. They had not forgotten. Here's what I know. When you attend to the things of God, God attends to your things. When you do work for God, God will minister to every other aspect in your life. Here I found a pastor who became a friend. Here I found the UCC-appointed mentor who became the embodiment of who I choose and hope to become, to serve the people that Jesus ministered to. Perhaps some had lost their way. Perhaps some had forgotten because the religious leaders told them they weren't worth anything. The religious leaders told them they were higher than you. But what Jesus did, Jesus connected to God the Father, the Holy Parent, in the mysticism of what they have in their relationship. Out of that, somehow the wisdom manifests, the Sophia, the effeminate presence of God. And so Jesus embodies that wisdom and says, come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden. The joy that we have this morning is that we can go to God. I wish I had gone to God sooner, but you know what I've learned? Life happens the way life happens. It just does. And you know what I'm working on? Accepting life on life's terms. And I find that I don't stress as much. When I don't have to orchestrate the world. And it's like, oh, MacArthur, you're not God. Oh, thank God. And I can let go. And I can just be. And I want to invite you to be. I want to invite you to love dangerously. I want to invite you to extend an extravagant welcome to whoever comes through those doors, because maybe they felt the desolation I felt, that I was all used up and that God was done with me. But that was the lie from the pit of hell. I'm 63 and I'm starting a new career because I met God at Church of the Crossroads with a group of hippie folks that are my tribe. And through this group, I have been renewed, rested, and restored. Your love transformed my life. How can I forget you? Just know this. If you get tired in this life, if you get weary, if you feel the need to put your feet up and turn your cell phone off, do it. And then say that most eloquent prayer, Jesus. That's all you got to say. And you can discover a joy and a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. And that if you let yourself, you'll discover a passion that is renewed and ignited in you. Like that old gospel song says, I've been running for a long time, but I'm not tired yet. Church of the Crossroads, I love you. The presence of the Lord be with you. Amen.